Amen. Well, this morning we're going to wrap up our series called Rewired. And as we do that, I want to give you a brief review of the series. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I think it's interesting in the Good News Bible, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. It is a simple truth from the Word of God that the way we think in our heart, our attitude, our mindset, our thought patterns are going to determine the person that we really are. It is a critical issue for every believer because it is one of the main reasons for the disconnect that we see so often between what people profess to believe and what they actually live out in their life. It's not just a passing thought. No, we all have all kinds of random passing thoughts, but it's our thought patterns. Science tells us that those thought patterns form neural pathways in our brain. But we can rewire our brain if we will change the way that we think. And it brings about a radical change in our life. Romans 12:2, this has been our key verse. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It gives us this powerful truth. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what I think a lot of people would prefer? Lord, how about I just pray and you just zap me, right? I mean, we want everything instant. We want everything automatic. We want everything easy. I mean, if there's ever been a generation that had that, we have that in so many ways in our life. But the truth is that when it comes to your life being radically changed, the Bible gives us this very clearly: be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to have to change the way that you think if you want to continue to see real change in your life. And we're not just talking about some kind of positive thinking process. First and foremost, we use the Word of God to change the way we think. Our belief, our faith, what we adhere to, it all has to be based on the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God judges the thoughts and the intents of our heart. It shows us what is right thinking and what is wrong thinking. Next, we talked about having an intimate relationship with God. And I want to tell you, nothing can change the way you think more than being close to God and experiencing His presence, just to be in the presence of the One who knows everything and can do anything. Be still and know that I am God, He says. And we need to realize that that's a powerful way to change our thought processes, is just to be in His presence, to be with Him. We talked about being spiritually minded. So often people focus on the things of this world. They are fleshly, carnal minded. We have to focus on the things of God. Set your minds on things above, the Bible says. And so as we do that, as we become spiritually minded, our thought processes are no longer the same. It is a powerful way to change your thinking. We talked about rewiring our brains through prayer. We all have all kinds of battles and struggles, and we all have all kinds of worry and fearful thoughts that come into our mind, anxious thoughts. And the Bible tells us very clearly not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you present your request to God. And then the peace of God will come and guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But prayer is where we take those anxious thoughts, those troubled thoughts, those wrong thoughts, and we turn to God, and all of a sudden, instead of thinking those thoughts, we're thinking thoughts of faith and victory and thanksgiving and blessing. Prayer so powerful to use as a weapon to turn your thoughts to the right things. And today, the message is Rewired by forward thinking. We need forward thinking in our life. You know what? As a believer, we ought to always be moving forward. We ought to always be growing. We're supposed to always be changing. Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in us will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not finished with us. No, until he comes, we're supposed to continue to grow and learn, being conformed into the image of his son, always moving forward in our relationship, in our faith, in our walk, in our service and fruitfulness. We should always be moving forward. In fact, when he comes, the Bible says, we're going to be changed. In the blink of an eye, we're going to be changed. And when we see him, we will be like him. I'm just telling you, in eternity, we're going to be radically changed. But in this life, as long as we are here, we should continue to change. And that happens as we renew our mind. Don't stay in the same old rut day after day, year after year. No, we want to grow. We want to change. And so much of that depends on whether or not we renew our minds, that we change our thoughts. You know, we've all had areas of our life that we know need to change. If you don't know of some in your life right now, well, just ask somebody close to you. They can help you with that, right? Now, most of us know all too well the areas of our life that desperately need to change or we want to change. And it can be just, well, so many things. There's 1,000 different things. Let me just give you a few examples. We want to lose weight. We want to overcome some health issues. We know we need to get more involved in the work of the ministry. Maybe we just want to be closer to God. We want to worry less or reduce stress in our life. We want to be more successful in our job. We want to have financial freedom. We know we need to be a better spouse or parent. Maybe we want to make some new friends. We know we need to spend less time on social media. Or maybe there's some addiction that we know we need to get free from. An addiction to alcohol or tobacco or drugs, whether illegal or prescription. Or an addiction to pornography. So many things that people need to get free from, and they know. Maybe we just need to feel like our life is going somewhere, feel like we're making a difference in some way. But whatever it is, all of us, there are a list of things that we know need to change. We know that on some level, we need to move forward in this area of our life. And I want to tell you that the key is that you got to change the way you think. That's what the Bible says will transform your life. It's when you renew your mind. You know, sometimes we try to change those areas, and we try again and again and again, and it seems like no matter how hard we try, we fall back into the same old patterns, the same old ways. And sometimes we pray about those things. Please don't misunderstand what I am talking about or what I'm saying. I've already talked about how important and how powerful prayer is. But you see, you can pray about those areas of your life. And yet, if you don't change the way you think, so often you're going to fall right back into the same old pattern. Sometimes you don't even get out of the gate. Because it's not all just saying, God, zap me. No, it is about us being obedient to his word, renewing our mind with the word of God, changing the way that we think. When we change the way we think, then our lives are transformed. And I know it's easier said than done. It's not easy. I mean, when you've thought a certain way for a long time and all of your experiences and all of your past has taught you certain things, it's hard to rewire. But that's what it takes for us to really see victory in some of those areas of our life. We can't keep thinking the same old stuff. We'll keep getting the same old results. We've got to move forward. We got to have some forward thinking. Change. I'm not going to think the same way anymore. No, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, if we're going to make some progress, we need some progressive thinking. Well, I'm scaring some of you. No, I'm not talking about politics, okay? That's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's Word. I'm talking about forgetting about the past. I'm talking about vision. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about success and victory in your life. I'm talking about getting out of a rut and moving on into all that God has for you. We need some progressive thinking, moving forward thinking. See, our past experiences, our memories, they form neural pathways. Some are good, amen, and some are bad, amen. But we need new thinking if we're going to change. We need to forget about what was.
That's right. Come on.
Just go ahead and get this out of the way. That doesn't mean that we are to forget about the victories that God has brought us. We need to celebrate the victories. We need to talk about them more.
Yeah, right.
And we need to certainly learn, or the things that we've learned from the past, certainly we want to remember the lessons learned, right? You don't want to repeat the same old lessons. But hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah 43:18-19. The Lord says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. He says, do not remember the former things. Forget about it. Now, that doesn't mean you can wipe away all recollection of the past. It means that you don't dwell on those things anymore. That is no longer your focus. You have forward thinking. You are looking forward to what God is going to do now in your life. And this has everything to do even with those areas that I was talking about earlier, the one that came to your mind, the thing that you believe needs to change in your life. You're not going to change it with the same old thinking. There's going to be something new that God wants to do in and through you to move you forward. He says, forget about the former things. Don't consider the things of old. You know, the past is how we got where we are today. But if we dwell on the past, if we don't forget the former things, it'll keep us going in the same old pattern, the same old rut.
That's
right. You know, there's a Peanuts comic strip where Lucy misses yet another fly ball. And she comes to the mound to explain to Charlie Brown. She said, I thought I had it. I thought I had it. But then I remembered all of the others I've missed. And the past got in my eyes. Oh, there's a whole lot of believers. They get started the right direction. They make a commitment. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And then the past gets in their eyes.
Right.
It's the same old pattern. I'm telling you, you got to break free from the thought pattern that keeps you going in that circle again and again and again.
Right.
Too many focus on what has happened in the past. Listen, sometimes even on what God did in the past. As wonderful as those things are, God wants to do something now and in our future. And we need to be ready for what he said, the new thing that he's going to do. Philippians 3:12-14, the Apostle Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. None of us has arrived, amen?
Right.
He says, but I press on. You see, he's always moving forward. This man was so driven. He never stayed where he was. No, even when he's in prison, he's moving forward. He had forward thinking. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And there is just as much a purpose of God in your life. There's a reason that God has taken hold of you. But he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. See, I hadn't arrived yet. I don't have it all together yet. There's some areas I need to work on. Talking about you. But here's what he says about that. But one thing I do. forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. You see, it's not always just about us trying a little harder, struggling a little harder. I'm telling you, we need to get our focus on the future, forgetting about the things which are behind. When we look at the future, we need to remember we have a God with that with Him, all things are possible. There's not anything He can't do. Yes, in your weakness, you struggle and you fail, and these patterns have repeated, but you need to forget about that. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, this is forward thinking. I'm pressing toward the goal. I'm moving forward with all that I am. Keep going. Don't allow the past to slow you down. He says, the one thing. This one thing I'm doing. See, we ought to have this attitude. I'm absolutely going to do this, that I'm going to leave the past behind and reach forward to the plan and the purpose of God. See, we've all had all kinds of hurts and disappointments and failures and problems in the past. One of the main reasons that so many believers don't go to church today is because of something that happened in their past.
Right.
And it's all the rage to just adapt your doctrine and beliefs to fit that. But I'm telling you, the truth is that so many people don't go to church. If you talk to them one-on-one, well, I was going to this church and, you know, this person said this to me. I was going to this church and this happened. So many people struggle in relationships because of something that happened in another relationship, or maybe two or three relationships. And what they've learned is I can't ever win. I can't ever have a successful relationship. All kinds of ways that people learn the wrong things. You see, the world says, and even a lot of believers say, that experience is the best teacher. It is such a lie. Because so many people learn the wrong things from their experiences. Your experiences are a huge part of what has wired your brain. But we need to rewire to see the future that God has for us. Not to see our future as it is from all of our previous and past experiences, but to see it with faith, to see it with vision from the Word of God. That we keep moving forward in what God has for us. They shackle a baby elephant with a small chain and a stake. And that baby elephant will pull against it, and he'll try and try and try again and again and again. But he can't ever get away from it. And he learns that when he is staked, it's no use. He just has to stand there where he is. And the amazing thing is that then when he grows up and he weighs 2 tons and he could easily pull out any stake or break that little chain, but yet he no longer even tries because of the memories that he has that I can't pull that out. I can't get away from that. Those memories shackle him to continue to be the same as he was. And so it is with so many Christians. They think they can't win because of all those memories. This is the way it is. This is the way I am. I lose my temper. That's just the way I am. You don't have to stay in that bondage. I'm telling you, those areas where you're struggling, you're not really being the kind of parent you need to be, you don't have to stay that way. But you need some forward thinking.
Amen.
Stop thinking about the past and going over it and over it. Instead, get your mind free from the past and look forward to God working, moving in your life in a fresh new way. The Lord always wants to move His people forward. You know, when the Lord delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, after 400 years of slavery, they come to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army is pursuing after them. They are hemmed in with nowhere to go. They had seen all of the mighty miracles that God already performed in Egypt, so that they would be able to leave. And yet now they are absolutely terrified. And so Moses begins to pray, and I want to read to you what the Lord says to Moses in Exodus 14, 15. He says, "Why do you cry to me? Lord," I wonder sometimes if he's saying to me, "Why do you cry to me? Why do you cry to me? Tell the people to go forward. Tell them to go forward. How are they going to go forward? There's a sea there." You know the story that then the Lord told Moses to hold his staff out over the sea, and a wind blew all night. The sea was parted. It stood up like walls of water on each side as they passed through on dry ground. Then the armies of the Egyptians came in behind them, and the walls of water collapsed on them and drowned that army. It was a great victory. But hear this, the Lord told the people, go forward. This is always his plan. It is never his plan for us to just to keep going in the same circle. But that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. It was a short trip to the promised land. But when they got there, they were not ready to go forward. They refused to enter in because they had had 400 years of the wrong thinking. It had been drilled into them that they were nobody, that they couldn't win, that they were in subjection to other people. And so when they saw the people of that land, they said, "We're just grasshoppers in their sight." They had the most messed up thinking, and it kept them from being able to go into the promised land. And so for the next 40 years, they did laps in the wilderness. And there's a whole lot of believers doing laps in a wilderness right now. I'm telling you, you don't have to stay in that rut. You don't have to continue on in the same patterns, but you're going to have to change the way you think. 40 years. That's how long it took for that generation to die off, and a new generation that could think faith was ready to obey God and go in and possess the land. Amen. But God always calls his people to go forward. You know, if you want to see some forward thinking, you look at the Lord Jesus. He didn't just focus on what was going on right here, right now, but he had something bigger in mind. He was always forward thinking. The Bible tells us that he endured the cross for the joy set before him. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to go through some hard times in life. You're going to have some real battles, some horrible things. I'm going to tell you, the cross was horrible. Not just the physical pain, but he took upon himself all of mine and yours, guilt and shame and sin. The Holy One took it all upon himself. It was a horrible thing when his Father turned his back. And he said, "Why have you forsaken me?" I'm telling you, it was a horrible thing, but he endured the cross for the joy set before him. That's forward thinking. When you're going through a rough time, you need to remember, I'm coming out on the other side. I'm going to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to keep going, forward thinking. Battles come. Oh, you know, most of us have battles right now. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep moving forward. You know, Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth." He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But did you know that the church pretty much stayed right there in Jerusalem for several years? They didn't really move out and begin to go. They didn't even make it as far as Samaria for several years. And then something happened. Persecution came against the church. Stephen was stoned to death. You read about it in Acts chapter 7. People were being put in prison. It was a terrible thing. But being uncomfortable and the trouble It got the people moving again. It got them to move forward. They were just kind of stuck, you know. They kind of fell into a comfort zone until the persecution came. And then what happened, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 tells us this: therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. I'm telling you, when that persecution broke out, it was a church-changing event. It was a world-changing event. That doesn't mean that God caused it, but I'm telling you that our God can take what the enemy means for harm and turn it for good. And I want you to hear me now. This pandemic that's still going on, I want to tell you something. It is a terrible thing, but our God can turn it for good. As I see that in many, many ways, I didn't see it a year or two ago, but in many, many ways, the church had been stuck. And this pandemic has brought about a new move of God, a new hunger for God, where these people that play church, they either got in or they got out. But I'm telling you, God is moving and working, and sometimes it just takes something to shake us and wake us and get us out of our comfort zone, get us moving forward again. Amen. Keep thinking forward in your life. And realize that in your personal life, so often it happens that way too. Get stuck in a rut. Sometimes something difficult can shake you, get you going again. But you need to know that the Lord always has a plan for you. He is always thinking about your future. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Oh, that our thoughts would be his thoughts. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. You see, God is forward thinking. He's thinking about your future. And even if your past ain't so great, he's thinking about something good in your future. Not evil, he says, but good, to give you a hope and a future. Sometimes life seems hopeless. Don't know how we can ever change this. But God will give you hope and a future. In the NIV, it says it this way: I know the plans I have for you. Listen, plans are future thinking, forward thinking. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. It is what's to come. Moving on, forward thinking. We need to be looking forward to the future with an expectation of God blessing us and doing great things in our life, not just looking at our past. One man says to his friend, he says, man, you look so depressed. What's going on? He says, well, I was just thinking about my future. And he says, why is that so bad? He said, because of my past. And I'm just telling you that God is bigger than your past. Of every person that got born again and saved by grace, we ought to know that. Amen. But you see, it's not just for getting to heaven. It's for real life every day that he wants us to realize that there is a power at work in us. He's moving us on. We don't have to live in those same old patterns. We need vision for the future and what God wants to do. Vision. You know what that is? Forward thinking. Proverbs 29:18, so it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Because without vision, we just stay in a rut. It's just a slow death. No matter how long it takes, it's a slow death without vision. You know, when I talk about vision, I always think of Abraham. He's 75 years old. His wife has always been barren. He's never been able to have any children. He has 75 years of experience. Bad experience of not being able to have a child. That's a long, long time. 75 years of this issue. He's 75 years old. It's not getting better. It's looking worse and worse and worse year after year. But God speaks to him and tells him he's going to be the father of many nations. And he gives him a vision. He takes him out and he shows him the stars. And he says, your descendants are going to be more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. He gets a vision. And for 25 years, he believes God. After 25 years, that promised son comes. And God fulfills that vision throughout the generations. Amazing. But Abraham got some forward thinking. He wasn't looking at the past. He was looking forward to the future, that God would fulfill his word to him. And you see, we need that kind of forward thinking vision, that God will fulfill what he has spoken to me. The Lord changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and he called himself Abraham, which means the father of many nations. Can you imagine what it looked like for this 80, 90 year old guy telling people, my name is father of many nations. I ain't got no kids, but I'm the father of many nations. But he had forward thinking. He wasn't looking at his past. He wasn't even looking at his current circumstance. He was looking forward to see that vision fulfilled in his life. We got to always, as the people of God, we should always be moving forward by faith. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't just go by what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've experienced. No, we live by the word of God. That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're always moving forward by faith. Faith doesn't just see what is. It sees what can be. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. No matter how I feel, what's going on, I see myself receiving the gift of peace from Jesus. I see myself having a peace that passes understanding. Circumstances might try to rob it, but by faith, my thoughts are that I have peace. He heals all my diseases, according to Psalm 103 and verse 3. The same one who forgives all my iniquities, he heals all my diseases. And so when sickness and illness comes, I see that there is a God who heals me. I may struggle, I may have battles, but I'm not going to think about, oh, how bad, how sick I've been, how much trouble I've had in my health. No, instead, I'm going to think forward that he is my healer, that by his stripes I was healed. See myself as somebody that God supplies all my needs, that he is my provider. And no matter what's going on in the world, in my situation, I know that he's my provider. That's the way. You see, it's those forward-thinking thoughts of faith and trusting God. Don't see yourself living paycheck to paycheck or living in poverty, but see yourself blessed as a child of God, more than a conqueror, an overcomer. You know, when you talk about forward, moving forward, I think about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. For 12 years, this woman had this illness, this physical condition with an issue of blood from her body. In that culture, in that time, that made her unclean. She was not even supposed to touch people, but the Bible says that she pressed through the crowd. See, her forward thinking literally moved her forward because she said within herself, listen, she didn't say, I've been sick for 12 years, and that's just the way it is. 12 years. Some of you have been dealing with an issue in your life for more than 12 years. But she wasn't thinking about the past 12 years. She wasn't thinking about the fact that she had spent all her money on doctors and only grew worse. She wasn't thinking about the fact she had tried everything. She was just thinking this: if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'm going to be healed. She was pushing forward, you see, because her thoughts, what she was thinking, it changed her life. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you can change your thinking, it can change your life.
Yes, that's right.
Forward thinking. My wife so often makes a great illustration for me because she just lives for God, and I see faith work in her life so powerfully. But when she was very young, early in junior high or middle school, she decided she would go out for track. And so the first day she went out to the track, and the coach told them to run a lap around the track. And when she got done, she collapsed on the grass. And the coach said, "Well, I don't think this is for you." And she hated running for almost 50 years. And then she decided that, you know what, I really need to start running just as a way for me to have some regular exercise and to keep myself healthy, to do what I know to do, like so many of us. She decided that that's what she needed to do. But here's what she did that's so different from what most people do. She didn't just grit her teeth and say, "I'm going to do it." What she did is she decided that she was going to change the way she thought about running. She said, "I've always hated it." But she said, "I changed my confession and I changed my attitude and my thought. And I decided I was going to like running. I was going to like it. I wasn't going to do something I hate every day. I'm going to decide that I like to run." And the Lord gave her an idea to listen to sermons while she runs. And so she started doing that, and she got to where she loves it. Now, there's been some health issues and some things. You know how it is in this life. There's problems sometimes that'll slow you down. But you know what? When she can't run, she misses it because she really wants to run. That's amazing. And how did that happen? Because she changed the way she thought about it.
Right.
Some of us, we've been fighting this battle and trying and gritting our teeth and struggling and, you know, give it the old sheer willpower, and we find ourselves right back where we were. You got to change the way you think. Sometimes we go through terrible things in this life. I don't know that any of us have ever been through as much as the man Job. And there were times when Job certainly was focused, I guess, on his circumstance and what had happened to him. But I want to read to you what Job said in Job 19, 25 through 27. This was forward thinking. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." He was looking forward to that day. He knew that his deliverance would come. He knew that he had a Redeemer, and that he would see him in his flesh. He would see his God. See, that was forward thinking in the midst of a horrible situation that looked like it would never end. He had forward thinking.
Amen.
And if you're in a terrible situation, when you're going through heartache or tragedy, keep forward thinking. Don't allow the enemy to shackle you, to get you down. I told you this is about your success, your victory. And so I want to go to one last verse of Scripture to close this morning. It's Joshua 1:8. And there's about four or five sermons that I could preach from this verse. But I'm just going to unload it on you today real quick. Don't get scared. I'm aware of the time. Don't think about that. Get your thoughts. All right. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success." Yes, I am a prosperity teacher, but not like the world thinks.
Right.
No, I believe in biblical prosperity, biblical success. That doesn't mean you make bazillions of dollars. What that means, listen, real success in this life is fulfilling all that God has for you. Because in eternity, if you did that, you were a success. If you didn't do that, I don't care how much money you made, you're a failure. Real prosperity, oh, it has to do with well-being. It has to do with the blessing of God being on you. It's not about, you know, how much money. I don't know how people get so wrapped up in that, except it is just so much a part of our culture. But here's what I want to say to you. See, in your life, those areas where you want to win, those areas where you want victory, that's what it's talking about, prosperity and success. Now for Joshua, prosperity and success was that he was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And for him to prosper and to be successful meant that he would successfully do that. That he would be able to do what God had given him to do. That's what that meant. And so the Lord gives him this formula. He says, "My word, this book of the law, shall not depart out of your mouth." In other words, that you get your speech lined up with my word. You quit talking about your old negative past and how this happened to you and that happened. You start speaking what my word says. Listen, you see, if you want to get yourself where you get off the couch and you start running 3 or 4 days a week, you need to quit saying I hate it. Get your mouth. Get your speech in line with your vision and what you believe God has put in your heart. Then he says, you're going to meditate his word day and night. You can't get your thinking right if you're always listening to the world. You're going to have to dig into the word of God. This is where you find truth that sets free. This is the key to your victory. But there's something very powerful that happens here. You see, then he says that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. What is the real key to doing all that is written in it? You got to meditate in it day and night. You got to get it in your thinking, because if you don't change your thinking, you aren't going to do it. He says, meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do. See, when you meditate it day and night, when you really get the word of God down in your heart, then you can do it. And then, what's going to happen? Then you're going to make your way prosperous. Then you're going to have good success. Then your story is going to end different because you changed the way you thought. Stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come.